the credit that baseball has given to Michael Busch and what he has done to help become the National League co-player of the week shows you his value and his progress. Because we have said from the very beginning of this season that you ideally did not want to have to platoon him, especially given how much the Cubs have invested in him. And then also what your offensive expectation is out of your infield specifically relative to other playoff teams in the National League. So to see what he has done, batting .500, the slash line is ridiculous. Over six games with that homestand, .585, .615, .1174, 13 for 23. Has he finally made it to the point where, especially when he did face lefty starting pitching, that we can say, okay, this guy has finally built up enough of a profile and enough of a resume that you don't have to platoon him as much, and he should be regular in the lineup. The National League Player of the Week nod, I think, as well, even though it's co, was Zach Wheeler, who was just mowing everybody down, including the Cubs when he faced them, is still quite the nod.
I say this, Layla. I've been in the Michael Busch should play every day thing for about, what, 2 months now? I think Craig Counsell has finally caught up with the rest of us. I think the majority of people, whether you're a Cubs fan or not, just baseball observers have been like, why isn't this guy in the lineup every day? And you could say he faces some tough lefties and you don't want to mess up his psyche. But I point to what he did last year and the fact that he had a higher batting average against lefties last year than he did righties. That was his first full season in the majors. Craig Counsell slow walked it, but he's finally gotten to, I think, where the rest of us are. Everybody else noticed it. The MLB office, clearly with the co-player of the week, because who he's sharing that with kind of tells you how far he's come. This is a major step, not only for the Cubs to play him against two left-handed starting pitchings the last time that they faced left-handed starters, but also to have him in the same gravity as a guy like Zach Wheeler tells me all I need to know about where baseball sees Michael Busch.
Before the Cardinals drubbing on Sunday Night Baseball, and it's always a nice thing to do to be able to shine on the Sunday Night Baseball stage. We saw that with PCA earlier in the season when he performed well in LA against the Dodgers. But before that game, he had already become first on the team in OPS at .939 and weighted runs created plus at .162, which is, I think that is statistically significant when you consider matching the eye test with matching the hits of significance and how you measure the value to this team. So when you put it all together, I think it's basically a rubber stamp from Major League Baseball saying, Michael Busch has earned this. He's earned the honor, even though it doesn't sound like maybe a big deal in the grand scheme of things. I still think when you measure the progress and how he started out and how he's still being platooned, you know, it's not like there's some announcements that has been made. I still expect to see Justin Turner start every now and then. So because of that, I think it's a nice progress check for everybody observing the Cubs as they try to get something together, especially when the trade deadline is ahead of us, and so is that All-Star break.
I think the question becomes, Michael Busch, as an everyday starter, does that mean, one, Justin Turner's going to stay on this roster for the rest of the season? Will there be an upgrade at first base as far as the backup right-handed bat? And if so, will that affect Michael Busch maybe staying in more of a platoon-type role? I think right now you're getting just as good of at-bats, if not better, from Michael Busch facing left-handed pitching as you are Justin Turner. And I think that's where we are right now with it.
And sometimes you really do have to go back to the numbers, too. You have to go back to what the value of players are, especially on a Cubs team where they talk to you about their spending. You know, one of the notes in that I keep as a reference point in our Google Doc that we have where we update it every day for our show is Justin Turner's contract, because I think it's important to keep that in mind. Goodness knows the front office is. $6 million, one-year deal. Turner can earn an additional $2 million in bonuses this year, $1.5 million for plate appearances. Mm-hmm. Not that anybody's trying to keep somebody from earning that money if they've truly earned it.
But you got to earn your spot.
And $500,000 for time on the active roster. He would also receive a $500,000 assignment bonus if he's traded. I don't see him getting traded.
Could you see him getting released?
No, especially based on what I just read.
Oh, so you're saying you think that the Cubs are here to help him accomplish those bonuses as opposed to upgrading their roster and moving a guy like him and maybe Vidal Brujan to make better players on their roster as they make a postseason push?
No, I think they're going to do it as necessary. But I think sometimes when you're wondering why he might be getting certain chances, don't question how the team viewed and valued him. There are some teams where you say, yeah, you can tell that if there's especially with pitching, I feel like it comes up if you make a certain amount of starts, that they will sometimes prevent you from getting that start, or vice versa.
It's a dirty game.
They will do you a solid and you'll get the start so you can earn the bonus. In this case, it's plate appearances, but $1.5 million for plate appearances, that is a lot. I wonder how much, how many plate appearances it has to be. And I'm not necessarily pitting Turner against Bush, but when you make somebody have a deal like that, when you offer them that deal and you negotiate it, it does make me wonder about how much you want to use him and how much you're planning to based on how much you spent. Like, you know, they don't throw that kind of money around is what I'm trying to say.
Well, they could save themselves some money and bonuses if he doesn't get there. And if it coincides with them making their roster better, which we will know by the end of the month, I don't think anyone's going to be complaining except for maybe Justin Turner. And Justin Turner has to realize, as he knows, he's not a spring chicken. The decline is real. He's been maybe playing too much, and he hasn't produced in the opportunities he's getting to a consistent enough rate. And especially when you're talking about Michael Bush, you're talking about someone who leads the major leagues in OPS since the start of June. That's a real stat.
Absolutely.
And so you look at Craig Counsell saying, okay, he's been locked in. Let me use him more and more and more. And eventually, the extra space that Justin Turner resided in, it's going to disappear. And it should disappear because you're trying to win games. And I said yesterday, Leila, the ultimate goal here is not just to get to the playoffs. It's to earn a top two seed and keep it moving.
It is. And I think that that's fair. That should be your goal. You should not only want to win your division, you should want to be able to say, we'll go toe-to-toe against the best teams in the best league in baseball. And that's the National League. I feel like all of that is fair. And I don't think Justin Turner's some guy who's going to fight for his time. Like, everybody talks about how much of a value he is in that clubhouse. They always have that type of person. You get that veteran presence who you appreciate, who you respect. I don't necessarily think that there's some sort of conflict there. That's not what I'm trying to say.
Oh, no.
I'm just pointing out that this is how the Cubs value him. This is Rahimi and Harris on the score. Marshall Harris, Leila Rahimi, and you talking about Michael Bush getting the National League Player of the Week. Let's listen to Craig Counsell earlier talk about how Bush is getting noticed by the rest of baseball.
You know, well, it's interesting. It's like the nature of how he kind of performs. The last 2 days, you know, I think of the big exciting game, you know, makes everybody kind of take notice, because otherwise it's just like the, he had a home run this week, he hit 280 with a 380 on base and a whatever 500 slug, and it's like, but it's just kind of like nicely spaced out, right? So it's great. I mean, maybe it'd take a big game like that to put him on everybody's map.
I appreciate Craig Counsell saying what we are all seeing. So for me, that is something where when you put it together, I feel like everybody's backing up the eye test in a different way. You know, not only do you have you, not only do you have me watching the games, your manager is pointing this out. He's rewarding you with playing time. And then not just that, but Major League Baseball says, yeah, we see what you're doing. It's you and Zach Wheeler, though, because Zach Wheeler is, we're getting awards now for, like, guys going five innings, and Zach Wheeler's like, nah, let me give you a complete game.
Zach Wheeler had
good company to be in.
He had, in his last start, he goes the distance, right, and he gives up the one run, and he was just phenomenal, the fact that no Philly starter had ever put up the numbers he put up in that start. And we're talking about, go back beyond like the last time they won the World Series with Cole Hamels as their ace. We're talking about Steve Carlton. We're talking about Roy Halladay as a Philly. We're talking about guys who were just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And here is Zach Wheeler in his mid-30s saying, I still got a lot of gas left in the tank. And that is a scary playoff rotation in the making if we're talking about the Philadelphia Phillies. So I think that should be the standard bearer for the Cubs, and they're probably happy they don't have to deal with them anymore. And Michael Busch, it'd be interesting to see what they would do if they faced the Phillies in a short series. If they would go and say, hey, there's lefties out here. Jesus Luzardo, good luck, Michael Busch.
Better prepare. That is the reason we talk so much about a lot of the series that we've seen so far this season, is because when you're facing excellent opponents, when you have these series, the Twins are not that serious, I'm sorry to inform you. But when it comes to either your division rivals even, or the series that we talk about, whether it's facing the Phillies or perhaps the Yankees coming up, even though the Yankees are in a bit of a slump.
Might be catching them at the right time.
You're still measuring the quality of your team based on potential playoff opponents. This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. But either way, to me, it's just, I like pointing out the positives when you have them and then proof of what you're seeing. That's when it gets good. That's when you can see real improvement.
One of the texters on the text line, yeah, keep texting us. We'd like to hear from you. 630, unless the Cubs trade for a new legit starting third baseman, I think Turner stays on the roster. I don't agree with that. I think they could find a way to get a better third baseman that's not even a starter, just a backup right-handed bench player that maybe plays first and third, who's better than Justin Turner.
You want two starters and a third baseman and a partridge in a pear tree. I just don't know that they necessarily have all of the farm supply for that. By the way, speaking of farm supply and trades, our stalking segment continues at 1 o'clock today. We are focusing on Mitch Keller of the Pittsburgh Pirates, who might also not be selling now. We've still got to figure that part of it out.
That is ludicrous, but I hear him.
Okay, so according to SpotRac, Justin Turner's contract, 2025, $6 million payroll annual, $6 million toward the luxury tax, cash annual $4 million, cash cumulative $4 million. So it's not necessarily like it's a bigger hit or something if you decide to release, but either way, those are at least the numbers. And I'm not trying to say it's like Michael Busch versus Justin Turner. I'm just saying that this is how the Cubs value him. I also just appreciate the simple text from 219. Teams need to dictate the situation. Don't let your opponent dictate what you do. I believe in that too. Have some main character energy. And I feel like Michael Busch, you're at least the co-main character of the week in the National League.
With Justin Turner specifically, I think we also should point out that when you're looking at Michael Busch specifically, understand that man's making under $800,000 this year. He's under club control for another couple of seasons. He starts arbitration in 2027. We've been talking a lot about contract extensions. Get that man. If he continues to do what he has done and is decent against left-handed pitching as he gets more opportunities, getting him a contract might be a priority this offseason.
Also, the texter points out that you're monitoring the trade regarding Jackson Ferris. I'm in on that, too. I feel you on that. Speaking of Michael Busch, keep listening to our show all this week for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Baseball After Dark at Wildfire in Glenview on Wednesday, July 23rd, featuring our special guest, one, Michael Busch. Baseball After Dark is presented by Huntington Bank. Life is a masterpiece. Make your money story a bestseller. And by Wildfire. You know them. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating wonderful memories.